Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Alkem Laboratories Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, Tushar.
Yeah, thanks, Ali. Welcome to 1Q FY23 earnings call of Alkem Laboratories. From the management side, we have Mr. Sandeep Singh, Managing Director, Mr. Rajesh Dubey, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Amit Ghare, President, International Business, Mr. Yogesh Kaushal, President, Chronic Division, and Amit from Investor Relations. Over to you, Amit, for opening remarks.
Thank you, Tushar. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for Alkem Laboratories Q1 FY23 earnings call. Earlier during the day, we have released our financial results and investor presentation, and the same are also posted on our website. Hope you have had a chance to look at it. To discuss the business performance and outlook going forward, we have on this call the senior management team of Alkem. Before I proceed with this call, I would like to remind everyone that this call is being recorded and the call transcript will be made available on our website as well. I would also like to add that today's discussion may include forward-looking statements, and the same must be viewed in conjunction with the risk that our business faces. After the end of this call, if any of your queries remain unanswered, please feel free to get in touch with me. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Sandeep Singh to present the key highlights of the quarter gone by and strategy going forward. Over to you, Sandeep.
Thank you, Amit. Good evening to all of you, and thank you for joining us today for our quarter one FY23 earnings call. I would briefly take you through the key operational and financial highlights of the quarter. Total operating revenues for the quarter declined by 5.7% year-on-year, EBITDA margin coming in at 7.9%, and net profits after tax at 128 crores. We continue to maintain strong net cash position of 950 crores. Talking about our India business, which declined 6.7% year-on-year during the quarter, this was due to huge base effect of last year. Adjusted for COVID base impact, the company has delivered reasonably good performance in domestic sales, led by contribution from new product introductions, price improvements. Our CAGR over the last 3 years is 13.4% for domestic business. We continue to outperform in the domestic market, and as per secondary sales data by IQVIA, the company sales remain flat year-on-year compared to a decline of 1.8% for the Indian pharma market. This outperformance is driven by a leadership position in acute therapy areas like anti-infectives and gastrointestinal. Our chronic business continues to significantly outperform the market and has been gaining market share and rankings. Our growth rate in derma and anti-diabetic during the quarter is significantly higher than the market. We have gained 4 ranks in anti-diabetic and 1 rank in derma therapy. Now coming to our international business. US business reported a sequential growth of 2.7% with year-on-year decline of 7.9%. The performance in US market continues to be impacted by a higher price erosion. During the quarter, we filed 3 ANDAs with the US FDA and received 4 approvals, including 1 tentative approval. Apart from US, our other international markets delivered a year-on-year growth of 9.6%. with good all-round performance from the Australian market. Coming to our progress in the biosimilar segment, we have launched 3 products in domestic market last year, and we are seeing very encouraging response on these products. We expect to add a few more products to our basket in the financial year, which makes our biosimilars franchisee very promising in the domestic market. We have also signed deals in the CDMO space with a couple of international companies and few Indian players. In coming years, our biosimilar franchisee will be one of the future growth engine for Alkem. Coming to regulatory inspection conducted by USFDA during the quarter, St. Louis facility was inspected in June 2022, and post the inspection we received three observations. We have already replied to the USFDA with corrective and preventive plan to resolve these observations. Apart from St. Louis, our Indore facility was also inspected by FDA. This was a pre-approval inspection and we received one observation after the inspection, which we have also replied. Our Taloja Bioequivalent Center was inspected by USFDA in April and the inspection was successfully closed without any observations. All other manufacturing facilities supplying to the US market have an EIR as on date. To conclude, we have started the year with the market-beating performance in domestic markets as per IQVIA, and we continue to outperform the market in our domestic franchisee. Our margin for the quarter was impacted by headwinds from spike in material cost, higher marketing expense and distribution expense, and the price erosion in US. We would continue to drive operational efficiency through productivity improvements and various streams of cost optimizations that we are running in the company. Thank you very much. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kunal Dharmesh from Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. First one on the US, how many products are we planning to launch in the US for FY23 and any meaningful product we should be aware of for FY23-24?
We are expecting to launch about between 8 to 10 products, probably 10 during the fiscal year. And meaningful, we don't want to take a shot right now in terms of answering that question, but there are some shared exclusivities that we have already launched and we are looking forward to a few others as well. Time will tell how successful we are in those.
Sure. And second question is on the other expenses. What is driving the other expenses on sequential basis? I think it's up by about 100 crore.
You are asking from sequential quarter?
Yeah, sequential perspective. Yes.
So generally, our other expense is around 23 to 24%. And this time it is higher. And in fact, it is somewhere close to 29%.
And what is driving it, sir?
And mainly it is on account of some additional marketing expenditure, some additional traveling expenditure because of normalization. So sales and distribution expense also, it was on the higher side, particularly for our export freight. And then we have some forex loss, which also has gone in this.
Can you quantify the kind of one-offs like forex loss and maybe higher freight expenses which might not, recur for the coming quarters?
So around 50 crore this forex loss all put together, conversion and all, I think that we can term as one-off. And then on expense front, somewhere around 20-25 crores is a kind of additional in this quarter.
Sure. And if I may just squeeze in one more, this is, for the India business, in terms of return on capital, how does trade generics fare against the branded generic piece?
So on we have decent ROC on trade generic, and obviously...
Branded is better. Yeah. Anything specific will not answer. I mean, we can't give a number, but branded generic at scale is better.
Yes.
In ROC versus generic.
Okay, and what proportion of trade generic revenue would be like in-source versus outsourced, if you can share that?
A lot of them is outsourced, what we do, yeah.
Okay, so majority is outsourced.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. The next question is from Kunal Randeria from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thanks for giving me the opportunity. Sudhir, you did mention that you are investing in biosimilars, and that's going to be one of your growth engines going forward. So maybe just a couple of questions around that, you know. So if you can share the kind of product that you're targeting, has the investment started in hitting the P&L already? And when do you expect to have, let's say, maybe, you know, a portfolio of 6 to 8 products starting to contribute meaningfully?
Yeah, hi. So your question is that expense hitting the P&L? The answer is...
No, yes, Sandeep. Actually, there are 2 or 3 questions around that. So yeah, one of it was...
Answering one by one. So I think Mr. Dubey is in a better position, but yes, we have already completely expensed out R&D from the very beginning. So it's hitting a P&L, obviously, and it's hitting it from the last many years, not for the first time. So yes, revenues have just started, as I mentioned, you know, very recently. And as I mentioned in my opening commentary, we have launched 3 products. Now, when you say meaningful, I think meaningful is very subjective. But if your question is like, when we'll have 6 products, I think by end of the year, we'll have 6 products in India. But, you know, for it to really contribute, it's going to take 3 to 4 years.
Sure. So in 3 to 4 years, maybe you can expect, what, 5-7% of your top line or something coming from biosimilars.
What let me do my math. 5-10% would be how much, sir? I don't know. It would be
500 crores.
Yeah, maybe 1 or 2 years in there, we can't really be. Till we don't launch something in regulated markets, we're not sure whether it can go that high. 2026 is something I think we'll see an inflection if we manage to do things well. It's possible.
Sure, sure. And in this quarter, so well, obviously, you know, you were impacted by the high base of last year. You know, considering that 7% year-on-year decline in India revenues, would it be fair to assume that all your verticals declined? I mean, your branded acute, branded chronic, or even your trade generics declined, or did 1 or 2 really, you know, actually grow over last year?
But chronic business clearly had a very healthy double-digit growth. Mr. Yogesh, you could take this question.
No, so it's not all verticals. Yes, our acute, by and large, was flat, but I would say that with high base, even a flat was a reasonably good performance. Generic, yes, because of demand, there is little, you know, muted growth in generic or negative growth. But chronic sustained a growth of 20% plus. So, you know, all 3 verticals have different growth levels. Overall, you could just manage slightly negative as we started our opening remarks.
Sure. And if I can just squeeze in one more around trade generic. Sandeep, you know, a lot of your peers have now started to enter into this space. So I'm just wondering, you know, if you can sort of maintain the tempo of your business going ahead, and what would give you the confidence that you can do it with, you know, with so much so many big players entering?
That's a good question. See, we are one of the leaders, not just in terms of sales, but we are one of the pioneers. We started very early. The relationship we enjoy with the stockist fraternity is kind of unparalleled. So, you know, it's, I think trade generics is also kind of a misnomer because they are brands, actually. It's not sold through the doctor's prescription, but they do have a very good brand recall with a lot of customers and stockists and retailers. So we enjoy that. So a lot of big companies are welcome, but this is a business which is very different from what prescription business is. So I think they'll have their own learning curve. We have a very strong equity, and I think we'll outperform. We are very confident about it.
Got it. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sir, can you take us through the, you know, how the gross margin is shaping up? You know, we have a low gross margin this quarter. If you can give some more color, any specific, you know, raw material that you're facing pressure, and how are the, you know, the raw material prices trending, and therefore how should we think about gross margins going forward?
Yeah, Sayan, Rajesh here. We can see our gross margin from 60% coming down to 57.5%. Basically, yes, you rightly mentioned also material cost, it has impacted.
So impact of material cost is around 2.5%. Obviously, expensive raw material we purchase and is consumed in this period. So that is one of the reason. Second, you ask how raw material prices now it is behaving. So yes, it has started softening, but still I think it has not come back to its original position. So it is in between kind of, but definitely going forward, we'll start getting benefit of this raw material cost. Of course, it is going to soften going forward. Second, as we discussed in U.S., price deflation, that is another reason, and that also impacted us somewhere close to 2%. But that is offsetted by favorable mix. So we got better business mix. So that has taken care. And that's the reason 2.5% difference we have.
And just to add to that, he wanted some specifics. Like cephalosporins have been most impacted by price rise. And we are the number one company there, Cyan, as you know. So therefore, we were kind of impacted by that. Cephalosporins continues to be one of the most impacted raw materials.
Okay, so this is due to the Penji prices, and how are they trending?
They're trending very high. It's historically, I think, lifetime high, I think, in my memory, $40.
And is it possible to quantify, like, you know, how much of, you know, the impact is? I'm just wondering, this raw material which is used to make these cephalosporins, how much in terms of rupees crore, if you can give, and you know where we are versus where we were.
If you don't have it right now, fine, but Amit will get back. She can share it with anybody who wants it.
Okay. Sure. And any guidance you can give on gross margin going forward?
I think we have already guided our gross margin to 59%, and we remain with that for year.
59% for the full year.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about EBITDA margins? You had talked about 18% in the previous call. This quarter it has been very low. And also if you can give some color on other expenses, again, it's on a very high side. How should we think about that as well?
Yeah. So, Sain, I think last time we spoke about, yes, you're right, about 18% EBITDA. But the kind of two things which are a little bit, new this quarter, which we have to see how it goes. One is we have our close to 48 crores to be precise of currency impact, which we were not very sure last time. So this is out of the blue slightly. And then U.S. price erosion is also slightly more than what we were anticipating. So looks like it we could be 100 to 150 basis points lesser than 18% what we thought we'll be doing. And Mr. Dubey, the second part of the answer maybe.
Yeah. So other expenses, I think I have already covered that. And in other expenses, particularly in this quarter, there are a few expenditure where preponed it has happened, mainly in marketing expense. Then, as I said, traveling expense is on higher side. As selling and distribution, mainly freight expenses, is on higher side. And forex loss is one of which managing director just now mentioned of somewhere close to 48 crores. So, of course, 28.9% other expenses is abnormally on higher side. Traditionally, we have other expenses in the range of 23 to 24%, and by year end, we'll be somewhere closer to that. Then,
So yeah. 23-24 by end of the year, you're saying? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thanks, and I'll join back the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Tanna from iThought Portfolio Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, team. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Yeah. So, sir, I went through your annual report, and I was... just looking at this one line item called sale of services in the revenues. So that has increased from about 7 crores in FY20 to 17 crores in FY21, and it's around 58 crores in FY22. So what is this exactly pertaining to, and how do we...
What did you see, sale of position? Can you please repeat? We didn't get it.
So I was seeing at this line item, sale of services in revenue.
that has gone up from 7 crores in FY20 to 58 crores in FY22.
CDMO? In the annual report, Baba. Yeah. Is it CDMO?
That is CDMO. That is contract services maybe. For
okay.
Yeah.
So that has scaled up pretty well. So I was just curious to know, could this be like a 100, 200 crore kind of a line item going forward, since it has scaled up pretty, it's still a very smart portion of our revenue, but scaled up pretty well.
Right. So what do you want to hear, sir? I mean, yes, we want to ramp it up, but we don't really don't know, I mean, whether it can be done in the next 1 or 2 years.
Okay. Got
just
it.
Just kind of seeing how the business ramps up.
Sure. And the other question has been answered, so thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nithya Balasubramanian from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I just had the one question on trade generics. Is there any update at all or any more visibility you have on the trade margin gap that the government keeps talking about time and again?
Sorry, what exactly is your question?
Is there any update? Have you heard anything new from the government on trade margin caps? Any plans of implementing it? Any timeline? Anything you might have picked up in recent times?
No, we have picked up everything which everyone picks up from the media. We're killed like we don't know.
Does that concern you? Is that a real threat? How do you think about it?
So I think, see, it does not concern us too much. Of course, it would be a disruption because those rules will apply to everyone. So nobody's going to get any advantage or disadvantage. And we being leaders in it will continue to grow. And we will continue to grow market share. I think the new players would be severely more impacted. And so it doesn't worry me too much. And anyway, we don't worry about things not in our hand. We have a large portion of prescription business. Maybe we'll have a rub-off there as well. So I think we are fine.
All right. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Sandeep, if I were to look at your cost numbers in the quarter, there's been an increase in employee cost and in your SG&A, even adjusting for all the one-offs. I think what you, sir, mentioned is because of sales and promotion. Now, you know, if I were to look at the last, the data that is available for Alchem, our margins have been in the 15 to 17% range. And we've been trying to sort of, improve it to 18 plus for some time now. But do you think, given the competitive scenario in India and the investment that business requires, incrementally it's getting difficult for us to improve margins? What gives you confidence, in the margin guidance that we are, giving for 18 plus percent next year?
I think this year is an anomaly. So, this year, of course, we'll not hit that. But going forward, we will, because we understand the cost structures, what we need to take care of, and we are looking at the expenses very carefully. On international business side, we also have, very clear understanding of where we need to cut costs, and that's going to take some time. So next year, we think we could implement it. Also, please, understand that chronic business continues to grow very well. Operating leverage would really kick in. We have seen the growth we have in anti-diabetes and things like that. So ultimately, the compounding, the operating leverage of chronic will help domestic business get far more profitable because productivity is very less than chronic. And now you are seeing growth in the last few months very well. So we think we can address this in the long term for sure.
Sandeep, just to follow up on that, based on the investment that we have on our sales force currently, do you think that's enough, to meet the growth that we have forecasted for the next, let's say, 1 or 2 years? Or do you see the need for additional investment, in our field force? And similarly, in the sales and promotion cost, I know some amount of it is linked to the sales momentum, but do you see a need for incremental investment in the India business, as we go ahead?
No, I think, this quarter itself, we have added 300 people compared to last year. So I think we have, we have reached saturation, but we have added 3,000 people in the last 3 years, if I'm correct. So So I think we have already kind of maxed out. We don't really want to add too many people, because we also realize it that if we can grow only by just adding people, that's kind of something not to be proud of. So I don't see, to answer you very clearly, I don't see that we need to add too many people in the next 2 to 3 years to outperform the market. We have been ahead of the curve, we have been aggressive, and I think now is the time to make them productive and kind of scale the business without adding too many people. Similarly, in SG&A, I think it will not grow in line with sales. It will grow much lesser than sales. So I feel very confident that profit will go up.
Understood. So from a two-year perspective, we should see margins, you know, improve to the 20% levels that we've spoken of in the past?
See, whether 20 or 19 is, I think, something I'll refrain from. But certainly, let's say you will see it like above what we guided last time of 18%, it should be more than that, for sure. This year is an anomaly, kind of, for a lot of reasons.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Subramanian K. from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, you have mentioned about two deals of CDMO. So can you make us understand for which therapy segment and what are the products you are focusing?
Yeah, so, you know, these are a lot of things confidential, so I'll not disclose any geographies or, you know, in the company name. So these are for clinical trials, so they are in early stage, you know, for clinical trial supply. They are in the, they could be in the chronic space, and, you know, what therapy areas and all that stuff is for, it could be onco, it could be osteo. Yeah.
Okay. So what kind of competition is there in that, in the Indian space for this CDMO? So, like, you might have spent a lot for this, for marketing. So how long can we expect?
No, we have spent nothing on marketing. So this is not a marketing game. It's a service industry. You don't require a lot of marketing in CDMO, so.
Okay, sir. My other question is on this dermatology. So for this quarter, we had a solid double-digit growth. So moving forward, what is the strategy to scale up the revenue in dermatology? Because I could see the ranking is kind of not as same as in the other segments. So do you have any particular strategy in dermatology?
Yes, sir. See, yes, we do. I mean, one is that we are consolidating our current brands. Yeah, there are like antifungals, antihistamines. These are something which we are at a very nascent stage, so a lot need to be done there. Plus, we are also looking at, you know, strengthening our cosmetic portfolio there, particularly face creams and all, your sun cream lotions. So these are some very high volume and high used products. We are still very small there. So one is currently there are multiple, some of the therapies where we are reasonably, we have a good presence, and some, particularly in cosmetology, you know, we were not so big, and there we are exploring. So I think these two put together, we see a, you know, reasonably good growth in next 2 to 3 years' time. And beyond that, you know, we'll look at some of the maps which are being used in dermatology, which are just shortlisted. So we'll see how do we progress there. But currently, for next 2 to 3 years, we're very clear, and there are a lot of innovations which can be done in dermatology. We should be working on those directions as well.
Okay, sir. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Gupta from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on the U.S. business. So first question is, the U.S. sales has been stable despite price erosion. So any specific reason to highlight on this effect? And second question is, U.S. sales growth, what is the growth in the constant currency basis?
So the first question is, though, we have degrown compared to last year on year. We have not grown, and we are not steady. Sequentially, yes, we have grown. The price erosion has been one of the factors which negatively affected. Volume has been steady. And, of course, new products contributed positively, but they could not offset the loss in price, essentially. What was your second question? I'm sorry.
Okay, sir. Sales growth in the constant currency basis.
Sales this is all okay. Constant. So what I reported was in dollar terms. So in rupee terms, obviously you've seen what the results announced are.
Okay, okay. And so the stable part, I was like looking at the sequential only. So that's what.
Oh, you were looking at sequential. Okay. So sequential, constant currency basis, we are probably flat.
Okay, sir. And sir, and overall investment in biosimilar, which is expected in FY 23-24.
Next year. Okay.
It's within the 6%, right? Overall. So.
Yeah, overall R&D, including biosimilars and small molecules, is 6%. Yeah. You want to know? What do you want to know, sir?
Sir, regarding like the overall investment in the biosimilars business, so how, what kind of investment can we see in the numbers also, in the value terms?
Yeah, specifically, we can't, I mean, I'm not sure whether I can answer, but I can tell you, yes, biosimilars investments will be going up compared to this year, but overall we'll manage in the guidance we have given of 6% R&D of revenue, we'll not be spending more than that.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. On the U.S., you know, you, I think, had talked about possible growth this year over last year, but with the situation now, do you still think you can deliver growth in the U.S. this year?
Yes, Ryan. We've just done one quarter. We have three more quarters. So right now, the overall guidance for the year that we had given, at least for now, we are sticking to it. And obviously, we are looking forward to delivering that as well.
And I mean, is it more dependent on, of course, on new product, right? So when will we see that momentum of growth from next quarter onwards, or it will be more sort of second half?
No, it will have to be a combination of everything, Sayan, to be honest. So we are not going to deliver growth if there is a 20% price deflation, as you very well will understand. So to that extent, if we have to achieve our overall growth, it will have to come from all the three facets. A normal sort of a price deflation, unit growth, and of course from new products.
Right. And what was the level of price erosion this quarter, and how does that compare to last quarter?
This quarter was 20% in dollar terms. Last quarter, I think it was around 14%, if I remember. I'm not very sure of the last quarter number, but this quarter it was 20%.
Amit, 20% is a very high number. You're talking about year-on-year 20% decline in prices.
I'm talking year-on-year 20% price decline for our portfolio. Not net of new products. Your price decline on legacy business, on existing business. Yes. Yes, we did suffer, Sayan, a huge price deflation this quarter.
And is that very product specific, or is it spread across your portfolio? Because this number looks very high.
This is across portfolio, obviously. It is not product specific.
Okay. And how do you think sequentially the pricing momentum should be in your view, based on what you're seeing at this point in the market?
Right. And we were expecting that the price deflation will reduce. But sequentially from 14, we have gone to 20. So, over those two quarters. So it's gone the other way around than what we had expected. Now, obviously, we will hope and expect that, it doesn't go beyond this number and, in fact, starts coming to normal number.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, a general question on margin. You were talking about margins sort of moving higher in due course. So the question is that what is that dependent on, in the sense that do you have leverage in your India business, or is this going to depend more on, let's say, the U.S. business stabilizing and, growth coming there? And, if you compare the margin for the India business, let's say, pre-COVID till now, how is that comparison?
Okay. So, Sayan, increase in margin is dependent on both. One is domestic leverage, obviously, as we mentioned during the previous question. And even on international business, we have identified some, cost rationalizations which could be pretty meaningful, but we are still evaluating that, so we can't really give you any guidance on that. But we understand that, everybody is restructuring their portfolio. We also know what kind of
you know, portfolio we could restructure in international business, and that could lead to some cost optimization in terms of some, you know, a lot go to the manufacturing plant cost optimization as well, linked with that. So we have got some levers there. Now they will take a year to implement because, you know, to do those stuff, it's not that easy. So we have those levers and we are fully committed to increasing margins, not just as a lip service. So we feel very confident that if you forget this year and you take a 2-year horizon, we would be increasing our margins. And on the second question, Mr. Dubey, pre-COVID margins compared to now on the domestic side, I think he asked.
Yeah, so as far as pre-COVID margin is concerned, so more or less normalization is coming. So this quarter was exception because some of the expenditure, it is pre-ponded. So I think going forward, it will get normalized. That's the reason why I said our other expense, it is going to remain between 23.5% to 24%. So because our major expenditure that is on marketing, it lies over there, and as well as we'll start getting some kind of softness in material cost also.
Right, right. And just you know, Sandeep, if I can, you know, based on the the comment you made about cost initiatives on the international business, so even if you're looking at 18% margin, let's say when things stabilize. Typically, the India business margins would be in mid to high 20s, right? So, which implies that your the international business margins, you know, would still be very low, or is obviously now very low. So, how should we think about the, you know, steady state margin for the international business?
I think, see, international, the price erosion which you have seen is obviously like very high this quarter. So, I think it also a lot of depends on how the U.S. market kind of responds in the future. If this kind of erosion remains, then obviously the, you know, even whether it has margins will be under question. So I'll refrain from really saying that. Let's see how the U.S. market functions. Otherwise, you know, any kind of guess on what profit margin we'll have might be a, you know, just a guess.
Okay.
This quarter was really tough. Let's see how it sustains.
Got it. Thanks and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khemka from InCred Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Good evening, everyone. Sandeep, sir, from a marketing and sales-driven organization to manufacturing and now CDMO and biosimilars, the journey in the last 4-5 years for Alkem has been quite revolutionary in that sense. Can you talk us through, so these two businesses, which is your India business, which is more branding, selling, marketing, and then the second part of your business, which is manufacturing, contract research, contract development, capital intensity being high. Which direction is Alkem tilting to, and why are we diversifying away from our core competency of marketing, branding, and selling?
Right. Great. Aditya, so first of all, let me start with the latter part. We are not tilting or diversifying. I mean, we are diversifying, but we are not letting go of our core. I would put the question to you. Do you think we are letting go of our core? Do you see us domestic sales slack? I would say no. So
that's not what I meant. Yeah.
No, what I meant is we have not let go of our core, Aditya. Point number one.
Sure.
Because we understand that is our kind of a core. And it's critical. So that remains. And the organization cannot at all think of letting go of, you know, eye from the ball on domestic market. Now, see, CDMO is something which we discussed, but that's still very small. And we have not put any large capex or any marketing or anything of that sort. So that is kind of something which is getting built up. But I would not say that the whole company is geared towards that. Now, Aditya, you understand, obviously, that the world, including India, is changing. Biotech and biosimilars will be an important part. So you'll have to ultimately kind of take part in that. So biosimilars, again, is going to get core of what we are doing in the next few years. Yeah, and similarly, so, you know, you can't win those markets like biosimilar play without manufacturing of biotech. And we have not been, like, too aggressive on that. It's like we have not like put like hundreds, like we have just put 200 crores on the plant of biotech, and we are like measuring it. We are not going all hog and not like, if I can say, we are, you know, measuring the depth of water with one leg at a time, not with both legs. So, so just to reiterate, we're not letting off a, go off a core at all, Aditya.
Sure, sure. No, that's not what I meant. I just wanted to understand the diversification perspective, which is well answered by you. Thank you.
Diversification, Aditya, is also growth opportunities. I mean, diversification for diversification, I'm not a believer of that, but it's also a matter of growth. Because you see that US market is challenging with small molecules. You need to find other things like biosimilars, and we are a very simple company compared to a lot of other companies. A lot of other companies are doing injectables, inhalation, everything else, but we are not. We are just doing oral solids, and now we are saying we are doing, you know, biosimilars. So I would say one of the most focused companies, sir.
Fair enough, Sandeep. I joined the call a little late. Did you talk about what kind of price increases on a weighted average basis have we taken so far, and how much of the older price inventory was sold in 1Q and how much of the newer price inventory has been sold in 1Q?
Yeah. As you know, for scheduled product, we had opportunity to go with 10.73%. That's wholesale price index released this time. I think in most of the cases, we have gone for it. And you rightly mentioned, actually, impact of that, it has not come fully in this quarter, because we had some extra inventory of earlier manufactured or earlier batches. So once it is consumed, and then we are going to have, and obviously in quarter two, we are going to have entire benefit of price increase. For as far as non-scheduled is concerned, so wherever, depending on our competitors' price and all this, it is subject to that. But wherever opportunity is there, we have taken increase there as well.
Right, right, Ajish. So thank you for that. On the raw material side, as we understand from what we are noticing in some of the commodity prices, it seems that there is a bit of cool off. You know, Brent has come down and other commodity prices also seem to be cooling off. So how much of high priced inventory? One, do you agree with the assessment that spot raw material prices from China, etc., are lower than what they were, let's say, 3 months back? And if that assessment is correct, how much of the older, higher priced inventory do we have of raw material, and when do we start seeing the reflection of the newer, relatively lower priced inventory getting consumed in the P&L?
Yeah, you are very right. Actually, prices of API started softening, and as far as high priced raw material consumption is concerned, I think more or less substantial part we have consumed, and we'll start getting a little bit softened raw material price consumption going forward. So if I have to quantify to certain extent, I think somewhere close to 80-85% of expensive API is already consumed so far.
Right. One question for Amit. Amit, one of your largest competitors in the U.S. market spoke about product rationalization, letting go of loss-making products, and reducing the product offering to the customers because those products were just not generating profits. And you said 20% price erosion on a portfolio level, whereas in the India business, we have been able to take price increases. I'm sure raw material costs for both businesses have gone up alike. So in that context, how is the Alkem portfolio going to survive, given that the companies that I'm talking about are in multiples of the size of your business in the US, and yet they are facing a problem of cash flow on that geography and rationalizing portfolio. So
right.
How do you look at the outlook of your portfolio in the US, and how do you sort of differentiate yourself versus those larger players?
Differentiation, I won't be able to answer, Aditya. It's a generic business commodity market. Of course, we have our USPs and our strategies. But at the end of the day, you know, if a competition has the same product, there's very little differentiation per se. Going back to the original question, we do this exercise always. If there are products within our portfolio which we think are not generating return or investment or margin for that matter, we certainly discontinue or look at reducing them. And in many cases when, you know, like we just discussed, if there is a 20% price deflation,
There will be some products which will start getting into the negative area, and we will let go of those businesses. So really, sometimes we get forced out of the market also. Of course, we can keep that business by making losses, but that's not our philosophy. We don't do that. We simply get out of those products. So we do it actively, so and sometimes we are forced out as well.
So that's a fair point. I mean, if we're not making money, why do the business? So in that context, then, in terms of capacity, would you need additional capacity for your small molecule business in the U.S. for the coming 3 years?
No, I think sometime back we had very clearly guided that we have built a capacity for the next 5 to 7 years. And now with very little growth happening on the volume terms, we think that 5 to 7 year still remains the same despite 2 years hence.
Right. One last question, and I think maybe Sandeep can answer. So we are seeing a lot of merger and acquisition activity. I know you get this question every con call. So in terms of deploying capital, you know, you have options. You have an option of putting up a plant or capacity for biosimilar CDMO, US generics, and you have the other option of buying some brands. I know the pricing may not be, you know, as per what one would ideally want, but at least there is a positive ROI on that business at a certain stage. So have you reassessed your threshold of considering a acquisition in the Indian market, or would you stick with your original parameters of what you consider as value of buying Indian brands and investing in India?
Yeah, Aditya, I think we'll stick to it. So, you know, but let me kind of build on that a little bit, because I know from where you're coming from. So you mentioned domestic business, you know, international, you know, CDMO, etc. But we don't have any capex plan for any of them, which is like significant for the next 2 to 3 years. So there's no question of choice among the three of it. Obviously, so you know, first thing is that. And second, see, we continue to grow our domestic business organically, which is, I think, is a good thing. We continue to outperform. So I don't think we have changed a stand of acquiring something. But that doesn't mean that we never evaluate opportunities. We do look at them, but we kind of, when we hear those valuations from bankers, we kind of stay out. So we are still looking at a few things. If it makes sense, we'll buy. But if it does not make sense, we'll never do it for vanity. We don't want to look good. We want to be good in the long term.
No, I really like discipline in the organization. That has been one of your highlights, and I really appreciate you sticking with that.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thank you for your answers.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to request participants to limit their questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Mathur from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. My question is on the profitability of the domestic business from a slightly longer term horizon. I'm not looking for answers, numbers here. I very well understand that there could be some gross margin reversal in the near term because of raw material prices cooling. But if I look at the OPEX below gross profit, I can work with a MR field force of more than 10,000 down. If I remember correctly from previous con calls, 20-25% is the churn that the company used to indicate. With that kind of a churn, is it possible to increase the PCPM structurally from where the company is today? I am also aware that chronic is something that can add to the PCPM, but at the same time, there would be some churn that's happening on the acute side. So I'm not too confident or too sure whether the PCPM can improve from where the levels it currently are. And add on top of this, the biosimilars buildup that needs to be done for the next 3-4 years. Aren't we looking at some sort of a peak OPEX to sales ratio or a similar OPEX to sales ratio going forward in the coming 3-4 years?
I'll answer your first question. You have two questions, actually. You ask about increase in productivity, and then you ask about the OPEX on current 10,000 field force, and then how do we address that, correct? So number one is PCPM. Obviously, when we intend to grow at around 10-11% on a productivity of around 6 lakhs, so which means we are improving our productivity at on acute front. Yes, our chronic productivity is at a mid-level, so around 3.5 to 3.7, where there we take little aggressive growth of around 23% to 24%. So our acute therapy continue to outperform the market and thereby increasing the productivity, and we intend to grow chronic by at least 2 to 2.5x of market, and therefore, you know, outperforming not only the market but increasing the productivity more than what market increases. So that is what is our objective. Okay. So over a period of time, productivity is bound to increase if we sustain our growth levels.
Yeah.
Because we are not increasing manpower much now. We have done almost 1,000 every year for last 5 years. As our MD also spoke just now, that, you know, we don't intend to do much on expansion front except for a few this year. But it is more consolidation and building productivity. I believe last time we answered the same, that we have our one of the growth lever would be increasing the productivity.
With a field force of 10,000 and more, your top performing MRs would be prize assets for many other companies. Wouldn't the need to retain them, which would involve that you have to raise salaries of MRs, and if you don't retain the top performing ones, the PCPM hit that you take, because the new ones will take some time to ramp up. Why I'm asking this question is, why this question is more relevant for Alchem in my view. It's because of the MR base that you operate at versus unlike other companies which are at half or 70% of the MR base that the company is at.
Yeah, so that, that remains challenge across industries, not specific to Alchem. So retaining team will always be issue, and we have our inherent, you know, that bonding with team, and we have various HR initiatives where, you know, team bonding and retaining the team, and we are certified as best place to work for last 3 years. So we keep on continuing to see that, you know, our attrition level remains lower than the industry, and thereby retaining people. And we are known in the industry to be one of the best paymaster in terms of incentives, and we are very highly incentive driven company, and that helps us retaining people. So one is providing the right culture and environment, and second is, how do we reward them to the best of the incentive structure in the industry? That too help us to retain people. But yes, nevertheless, this still remains a challenge of retaining people, and we are aware about this.
Yeah, but very clearly PCPM increase. I don't know why you doubt that. It has to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the second question, what is the second question, sir?
Excellent.
Ask something. You asked someone R&D biosimilars. Can you repeat your question?
No, I think this answers. I mean that was just add-on question. PCPM is what my focus was.
Okay, don't want that on answer.
I think this helps. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shrikant from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
So, hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is on domestic trade generic industry. So if you can talk about how big trade generic industry is, what has been your market share movement for last 4-5 years? Because last couple of years we have been done very good business. So if you can comment on the market share and little bit on the futuristic, how we should look at the trade generic industry growth rate in India.
Yeah, so a lot of questions there. I'll try to answer them.
Market
share on trade generics, we cannot really say that because, you know, there's no data like you have for prescription business. But I can tell you that we are either number one or number two in trade generics. That's point number one. So we are very close number one or maybe a number one. And, you know, trade generics is really growing now. It's outperforming the market to a large extent. It's also mentioned in some of the questions we had earlier that a lot of other companies are now entering this. So I think you have got tailwinds. This industry will outperform the, you know, normal pharma industry.
Okay. And anything on the market share movement?
No, market share movement I think has only increased because, as I said, we are close number one, if not a number one. So, and there is no secondary data, no validated like third party data. So I think whatever market share I tell you might be not very accurate.
Okay. Okay. And one small bookkeeping question is on if you can provide the acute, chronic and trade generic contribution during the quarter.
2460.
Yeah, Yogesh, why don't you?
No, so acute is 84% and chronic is 16% to the domestic business.
The prescription business.
The prescription business, yeah.
Okay. Okay. And trade generic, any number? Trade generic?
It's close to 20.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vijay Karpe from Shriram Life. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. I have three questions. The first one is, what has to happen for the price erosion in the US to reduce? That is one. Two, what kind of ROCs do we enjoy in the US business versus the trade generics and branded generics?
There's a lot of echo over there. Can you repeat your question?
Can you speak? Your voice is cracking.
Yeah, I'll repeat my question. So the first question is, what has to happen for the price erosion in the US to reduce? One. And the second question is, what kind of ROC do we enjoy in the US business versus the trade generics and branded generics? And the final question is, can you throw some light on the working capital cycle for this quarter and the inventory days as well?
First question, I didn't get on the US. Price erosion, I said it was 20% for this quarter. It was actually 19% and 1% was volume reduction. Total 20%.
No, my question was, what has to happen for this price erosion to reduce?
What has to happen for price to reduce?
I can't really tell you. One of the key issues has been, of course, customer consolidation, but that's not going to change in this quarter. And the only thing I can say is that, you know, at some point of time, there will not be so many offers or people giving so many ROFRs coming through, and therefore, that automatically will come down.
Some players getting out.
Maybe. Some players getting out, manufacturers, that is, on our side, that is. Those kind of things will impact. Mr. Dubey, the other questions were for you, ROC and whatever.
So, as far as ROC on international business is concerned, we have in single digit, but definitely it is positive single digit, and we are in the process of improving ROC. I think third question, I don't recollect, what was it, your third question?
The working capital cycle, inventory days.
Yeah, so working capital cycle for this quarter, it is 110 days.
Right.
I'm not talking US, I'm talking on company level. So 110 days. Is it okay?
Thank you so much. Yes, yes. Thank you so much. Best of luck for the rest of the year.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Nair from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. Just a couple of clarifications because I got disconnected in between. So on your margin guidance, you know, if you could just clarify both of the gross and the EBITDA margin line, did you mention that on EBITDA margin you expect to be north of 18% from next fiscal, but this fiscal you could be a bit short of that number? Is that what you indicated?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Thanks. And on the gross margin line as well, you know, if you could just give us a general sense of, how margins could progress over the next 2 to 3 years, that would be useful.
We have given guidelines of 59% on gross margin front. And yes, obviously first quarter it is not there. Going forward, we'll try to improve. But I think in immediate future, we are going to remain somewhere in 59-60% kind of gross margin.
Okay. And just one last question from me. Can you quantify the expenses you are incurring on the biosimilars, biologics side currently? R&D, any other expenses all put together? What would it be on the P&L?
Yeah. So in biosimilars, we don't have a huge pipeline for regulated markets. And in the regulated markets, we have huge CT costs. So we just have one product which we are doing currently for global markets. So the costs are not very high. So, you know, R&D and OPEX would be close to 150 crores. 150 for for OPEX, that is plant and everything, all other administrative cost. And pure R&D would be close to 100 crores. So it's not significant.
Okay. Cumulatively about 250 is what?
You could say that, yes.
Okay. Thanks a lot. That's it for me.
Thank you. We have the last question in queue from the line of Kunal Dhamesha from Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. Just a couple of basic questions. One, what would be our working capital cycle for the branded India business? Just a ballpark number.
So for ethical business, our working capital days it will be somewhere close to 58 days.
And would it be fair to say that brand, the trade generic would be slightly higher than this?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And secondly, out of our 3,400 crore gross block, can you just give me a ballpark number of what would be the gross block which is targeting the US market or
Actually, I think readily I am not having this figure, but generally we never share. Our fixed assets utilization on respective business, but Amit he will be talking to you separately and try to provide some kind of
Amit Khandelia.
Yeah. Okay, sure. Thank you.
That was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the call. If any of your questions are unanswered, you can get in touch with me. Thank you and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.